This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, جزاكم الله خير to everybody for joining us today. This is obviously a very heavy and intense and overwhelming time for us all. And just to be able to come together and talk about it and talk about ways to navigate it so that we can navigate those emotions without burning out, so that we can stay engaged and we can stay connected to the struggle of our brothers and sisters is just so important. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you for being here and being willing to stay engaged with this topic despite how hard it is. And so I wanted to jump in, inshallah, to first acknowledge, and this is a really important thing that we need to acknowledge, is that what we're witnessing, what we're seeing is not normal. We have never lived in a time when genocide has been broadcasted in the way that it has been seen to us, right? Through social media, where you're experiencing almost a constant live stream of atrocity after atrocity, violence after violence, trauma after trauma, and pain after pain. And we have not, in the history of our lives, the histories of anybody's lives, ever been exposed to it unless you're living it. And so this vicarious trauma, which is what it's called, which is kind of like trauma by proxy, where witnessing the trauma that our brothers and sisters in Palestine are going through can lead to traumatic experiences for ourselves. And this is why we need to know how to navigate it, right? So you might be struggling with intrusive thoughts where you're trying to, you know, you might be doing something in your daily life and suddenly you get, you know, you get a sudden flashback to an image or a video that you've watched. You might be experiencing nightmares. I know that my friends and I, when we spend time together, we're talking about the nighttime wake-ups that tend to happen, right? Where you wake up in the middle of the night, you wake up with anxiety. You're like, where does this anxiety come from? And you realize it's because of this, right? It's because of everything that we're witnessing. And so it's so important to acknowledge when we're trying to navigate this, that this is not normal, that what we're seeing is not normal. And it should never be normal that this happens to begin with. But the fact that we can witness it constantly, when in the past there was one news cycle or one newspaper, or before then just a radio, right? And this was not, you know, like these types of situations were not broadcasted in the way that they are now. And so just realize that this is not normal, and it should not feel normal. So whatever you're feeling right now, whether you're feeling grief, we all are, anger, overwhelm, guilt, powerlessness, if you're feeling numb, like you can't feel anything, all of this makes sense. All of this makes sense in the drastic situation that we're in witnessing a genocide, witnessing apartheid, witnessing murder after murder. All of this makes sense. All these emotions make sense. And so the first step, if we're going to work on processing our emotions and we're going to work on navigating this experience of witnessing so much atrocity and so much violence, the first thing is to acknowledge what you're going through. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, acknowledge it. If your emotions are kind of all over the place and they're more turbulent than usual, if your patience is thinner, if your energy is lower, acknowledge it. If you're struggling to go on as you normally would have when things are not normal, or if you're afraid for your safety because of increased Islamophobia, if you're hurt because your friends haven't been speaking up or they don't share your perspective and your views on the situation, if you're experiencing survivor's guilt in living your life of ease while others are suffering so much pain, if you just can't seem to feel anything anymore and you feel numb, acknowledge it. All of these responses are real and they all make sense. And so acknowledging this is the first step to managing overwhelming feelings. And it's an amazing way to allow us to use our difficulties to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your emotion unless you acknowledge your emotion first. And difficult situations and intense emotions are an opportunity to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He created us with these emotions for a purpose. They are a sign. And we take it as a sign for us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that moment, it can be really transformative. And we see this in the beautiful example of the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam had given da'wah, had been calling to the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 950 years. Imagine the patience that it takes, 950 years. And then one day he calls out to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, he called out to Allah saying, "I am helpless, so help me. I am helpless, so help me." He acknowledged the emotion of helplessness, and he pleaded to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him. And so when we can acknowledge our emotion, when we can acknowledge how we're feeling, this allows us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that feeling, just like the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam did, and to seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that process, we're connecting with him. And he's the source of all strength. He's the source of all power, the source of all change. And so connecting with him in these moments when we feel powerless and helpless is so empowering, and it's so transformative. The other thing to note, you know, that I think is important to acknowledge when we're talking about emotions, you know, we're talking about the difficult emotions that we're experiencing, but it's also important to realize that in your life, you might still be experiencing positive emotions too. And that's okay. You can feel joy when you manage to achieve a goal that you worked hard toward. You can feel comfort when you hug your child. You can feel hopeful. You can feel hopeful both in finding hope in the stories and strength of the amazing, the experience and the examples of our brothers and sisters in Palestine, in witnessing their faith and their resilience. You can find hope and strength in that. You can also find hope in your own tomorrow. All of these can exist in parallel. All of these can exist in parallel. Sometimes it can feel like a betrayal to allow yourself to feel positive emotions. Can sometimes feel like a betrayal. Making dua, like, you know, the example of the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, where he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, "I am helpless, so help me." You might be experiencing in this moment almost a feeling of selfishness in making dua for yourself. So if you're struggling to, as you witness all of these videos, all of these images, all of this news, and it is overwhelming and it's hard, you might struggle to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you in that struggle. Because you might think to yourself, "I'm not even experiencing it. I'm just witnessing it. So what right do I have to need help to get through this? They're the ones who need help." And they absolutely do need help. They absolutely need the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we don't stop making dua for them. And not but, and simultaneously, do not limit the mercy or the capability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose mercy is limitless and whose capability is limitless. You can still make dua for yourself, for the people that you care about, for all of that, while also making dua for your brothers and sisters. This exists in parallel. So don't limit that mercy and that capability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when these emotions really hit us, when we're flooded with pain, when we're flooded with grief, when we're flooded with overwhelm of the loss and pain that we're witnessing, what are practical tips that we can use to deal with this overload of emotion? How can we use this to navigate in this difficult time, right? What are concrete things that we can do to navigate these emotions, to process these emotions, and to keep going, to keep moving forward, and to keep staying engaged? So the first thing to note is, how are you thinking about this? How are you thinking about these feelings that are coming up for you, right? When these emotions flood and they hit you so hard, realize that these emotions are a sign of the sense of humanity that you have, and they are a sign of your innate sense of justice. And that is a beautiful thing. That is a beautiful thing, and we need to be grateful for that, because not everybody experiences that. Not everybody experiences that sense of grief and that sense of anger in seeing this injustice and this oppression. Be grateful that you're not one of those people, Right? Be grateful that you have that sense of humanity and that you have this innate sense of justice. That is a beautiful thing. This is also, these emotions are also a sign that you are a part of a powerful ummah that cares for one another and doesn't turn a blind eye to one another's pain, right? The Prophet ﷺ, he described the example of the believers in their love for one another, in their mercy for one another, in their compassion for one another as a body. And when any part of that body aches, then the whole body struggles with sleeplessness and fever. The fact that you feel these feelings shows that you are a manifestation of this hadith, that you are a part of this body, of this ummah. And again, that is a beautiful thing. And these emotions are also a sign of grief. And I remember hearing a definition of grief that I thought was very powerful, and it really stuck with me, which is that grief is simply love that has nowhere to go. Grief is a feeling of love that you have, and you don't know where to put it. You don't know where to put it because that place that you would have conveyed that love to, that person you would have conveyed that love to, is no longer there. And so it reminded me, this definition reminded me of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he said that none of you will believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. We love our brothers and sisters that we've never met. When we see our Muslim brothers and sisters in Palestine, in Sudan, in China, in so many places of the world who are suffering, we love them. And when they suffer, we grieve for them because our love has no place to go. So allow these emotions to be a reminder to use that love for good, for positive change, for contribution. And allow this sadness, these worries, these fears for our brothers and sisters to propel us to do what we can for them and to propel us toward a positive outlet for these emotions. So what are some positive outlets for these emotions? What are ways that we can take these feelings, right? So now we've, number one, acknowledge the feeling, right? We acknowledge, okay, this is what I'm experiencing as I'm witnessing this. Very important first step in managing our emotional response to this. That's the first step. The second step is understand what is the meaning of that emotion. The meaning of that emotion is that I care. I care about humanity. I care about justice. I care about my brothers and sisters. I'm a part of this ummah and this strong ummah, and that I'm grieving for them, right? Understand the meaning underneath these emotions, right? And now the third step is, now what do I do with them? What do I do with these emotions that's going to be a positive outlet for them? So realize that everything that's happening is a test. We know, obviously, that this is a very obvious and one of the hardest tests that a person can go through, what our brothers and sisters are enduring. Right? They're enduring trauma upon trauma, pain upon pain. Like, I mean, it is unimaginable the amount of fear and difficulty they're going through unless somebody experiences it themselves, right? So that is their test. And it is an extremely, extremely difficult and intense test. But we are also being tested. And that's what we need to remember too. How are we being tested? We have to ask ourselves some questions. Like, what do I do when I see these images? What do I do when I'm scrolling on Instagram or whatever platform you're on, and I see a video that moves me, that makes me grieve, that makes me angry, that's devastating, that I can't get out of my head? What do I do when I see this image? Do I just scroll to the next one? When I feel uncomfortable, do I just scroll to the next one? Or even if I don't, I'm waiting to see what else is going to happen. This is a test. What do we do when we see what we're seeing? The least that we need to be doing is, at least after each video or image or post that we see, to stop and make dua. We can't just be bystanders. We can't just scroll through from one image to the next, to the next, to the next, without any change or without any proactive choice or action that we're going to be taking in that situation. We have to pause and do something meaningful, whether it's making dua for this particular person you see on this video, or whether it's making istighfar, asking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because istighfar brings so many blessings, right? We have to be doing something, right? Another question to ask ourselves is, what steps have I taken, no matter how small, to create change? Sometimes we fool ourselves, or shaitan fools us, into thinking that small actions won't make a difference, right? Sharing a post isn't going to make a difference, even though we've seen the power of that. Or reaching out to your representative won't make a difference. Or donating to an organization, well, there's no way that the money is going to get to Gaza right now, so we you know, there's no point in donating. Don't fool yourself into thinking that, because our responsibility is not in the end result. Our responsibility is in putting in effort. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, whoever desires the hereafter and exerts the effort due to it while he's a believer, it is those whose effort is ever appreciated by Allah. Your job is the effort, and then leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So asking ourselves those questions. And then when we're talking about, okay, these outlets for these hard emotions, what are actionable ways we can deal with it? When you feel powerless, focus on what you can do. Like the advice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that whoever among you sees an evil, let him change it with his hand. If he can't, then change it with his tongue. If he can't, then with his heart, and that's the weakest level of faith. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us three outlets for these emotions. He gives us hands for physical action, right? We use our hands to promote physical action. Our tongue for verbal action, and our hearts for spiritual action. So the Prophet ﷺ is giving us three routes that we can take when we feel powerless, when we see something that needs a change, that we have to try to create that change, right? So with our hands, you know, there are some very, very evident ones that we can do. You know, you can email your political representative, you can donate to organizations that are striving to help, right? But another thing that's important to realize that you can do too is to combat helplessness through helping others, right? Whether it's going to be helping our brothers and sisters there or also helping others in our own lives. Asking yourself, what good can I contribute in my daily life? Because every good deed, it weighs heavily on our scales, and it's powerful. And so being able to do that good, being able to strive for that good. There was a research study that showed that groups were split up, and one group was assigned that, okay, let's see what happens when you do a few simple, small acts of kindness, like just a few days a week, like 3 days a week. And then another group got like traditional therapy, and the other group didn't get anything. In some cases, the group who did the acts of kindness actually had better results in alleviating anxiety and depressive symptoms than even the group that had traditional therapy. And traditional therapy is very helpful for anxiety and depression. And so helping others is not just for them. It's for ourselves. So if you're struggling to cope in this situation because you're feeling helpless, the antidote to helplessness is helping others. And so asking yourself, okay, is there somebody I can give a meal to? There's somebody in need that I can give a meal to. Or I know, you know, my friend, like if you, especially if you have a Palestinian friend and who's coping with this, let me give her a call and, you know, see how she's doing and check in on her. Do something kind for your parents, right? Helping others is a way of evoking change with your hands as well. And then now with your tongue, right? The Prophet ﷺ gave us another outlet is through verbal action to create change. The first and most obvious one, and the one that is so easily dismissed by so many, is to make du'a. And people, when you hear the idea of making du'a, people view it as a very passive process. But it is very, very active. And people kind of view it as like, oh, it's a side note, of course, make du'a, but what else can I do? No, dua is our superpower. The Prophet ﷺ said, nothing repels divine decree but supplication. Dua can repel divine decree. Like, that tells you the intense power of it. And it should not be underestimated. And so, you know, create a dua list and place it somewhere where it's noticeable. And one of the things that helps me in this process, because I think one of the feelings that sometimes people can have as they're witnessing everything that's happening and continue to witness it day after day after day, week after week, is my dua is not working, right? I've been making dua, but nothing is changing, right? And I think one of the things that can provide a lot of comfort is the reminder of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he says that there's no Muslim who calls upon Allah without sin or cutting family ties, but that Allah will give him one of three answers. So the three ways that dua are accepted. He will quickly fulfill his supplication. So you're going to get what you ask for. You're going to see it right away. He will store it for him in the hereafter. So, you know, you will come on the day of judgment and you will find your scale piled with these dua that have not been answered. Or he will divert an evil from him similar to it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will stop something bad from happening because of this dua. And so his companion said, in that case, we'll ask for more. And the Prophet ﷺ responded, Allah has even more. One of the reasons why I find this very comforting is because I imagine, like, even if my dua is not being seen exactly the way that I hope it to be seen when I'm making dua for my brothers and sisters in Palestine, I think about how it could be stopping something bad from happening to one of them. Right? Like something that would have hurt a child, that my dot repelled that evil. And that really, I find that very inspiring to think about that, because we don't know. We don't know what was going to happen. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's written. And so if your dot can make a difference like that, that's a really powerful thought. And it can inspire you not to give up in it. The other thing to remind ourselves when we're talking about action with the tongue is tasbih, the remembrance of Allah, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is this so powerful? Is because it reminds us of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and that He's here and He's near, and He has the power to create all change, and He has the strength to create all change, and He is the protector. It reminds us of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And also remember in the story of the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. The Prophet Yunus alayhi salam was in layer upon layer upon layer of darkness, three layers of darkness. He was in the darkness of the night, the darkness of the ocean, and the darkness of the belly of the whale. And through all those darknesses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala released him from all three layers of darkness just because of his one beautiful dua, where he said, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin, that there's no God worthy of worship but you, and I was from amongst the wrongdoers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, he said, had he not constantly glorified Allah, had he not been from al-musabbihin, the ones who constantly remember Allah, glorify Allah, he would have remained in the belly of the whale until the day of resurrection. And so we see here that our release too from these darknesses, and the release of the ummah from these darknesses, just like our Prophet Yunus alayhi salam was released, is to become from amongst al-musabbihin, the people who glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this antidote to hopelessness in those moments is to remember who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and to remember His power and His capability. And we can do that through remembering Him, through constant remembrance of Him. And then finally, the heart. And so we'll end with the heart, inshallah, which creating an outlet for these emotions through actions of the heart can be very, very powerful. And it can give us solace in these moments of difficulty and give us the solace that we need to continue to engage, to continue to be there for our brothers and sisters, and to continue to remember and think about them. And so one of the first ways to do this is You know, I mentioned that a lot of us might struggle with survivor's guilt, right? Where you open your phone and you see the reality of your brothers and sisters, and it is so different from the reality that you're living. But you have to go from seeing that reality into your own reality, right? You vacillate between witnessing what they're going through and living your own reality. And that is very difficult because it leads to a lot of guilt, right? And so how do we navigate that is we try to create positive intentions. And the Prophet ﷺ tells us that our deeds are only by their intentions and a person will only have what they intended. And so we all have to step away from our phones and the pain that we're witnessing, you know, in order to do the things that we are responsible for in our lives. But doing it with a positive intention can be very, very helpful. And doing it with gratitude can be very, very helpful. So if you have to step away to go to school and get your education, make it with a positive intention that this is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? You are learning for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fulfilling your responsibilities for His sake, and turn it into a du'a for your brothers and sisters and the children there who have lost their opportunity for education, their schools, and make du'a that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them better than what they've lost. That when you have to take care of your child, be present, invest in your child. That's our responsibility. And at the same time, intend it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is my responsibility, with gratitude that I'm so grateful that I have my child here, while making du'a for our brothers and sisters who have lost theirs, right? Work, sleep, all of these different things that we're stepping away from their pain and we are living our lives. Do it with a positive intention and do it with gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and transform that into du'a for our brothers and sisters who are not experiencing the same ease that we're experiencing. And, you know, I mentioned in the beginning of this that we are being tested. One of our tests is this test of ease. They are being tested with tremendous hardship, and we are being tested with witnessing their hardship while living lives of ease. And the test of ease, we have to face that with gratitude. It doesn't mean that you forget all the tests of hardships that they're going through, but we have to face our test of ease with gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now we transform it to du'as for them. And so this allows us the chance to positively turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in gratitude while making du'a for them. The other thing, and I think if there's one point that you leave this talk with, just leave this talk with this point. This one I think is just the most important. And it's that when we're talking about these emotions, the overwhelm that we feel, and an outlet for it, I don't think that there is a better outlet than strengthening the ummah through strengthening ourselves in our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and becoming stronger Muslims, stronger and more obedient Muslims to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many stories have we heard of people opening the Quran and being transformed by the Quran recently, and converting to Islam and finding the beauty in the miracle that is the Quran? And we've had this miracle and it collects dust between Ramadan and Ramadan, right? Like, there are changes to strengthen our ummah. And so asking ourselves, what is a change I can make in my daily life, right? If the ummah is one body, then I am a part of that body. I am a part of that body. And my job is to strengthen the part of the body that I represent. And I can strengthen that by getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being more, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. We owe it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. We owe it to ourselves. We also owe it to our brothers and sisters, because imagine meeting them in the hereafter and being able to tell them that they inspired your change, that they made you a better Muslim, that the extra prayers that you did were inspired by their resilience, and that you pray that they're rewarded immeasurably for what they inspired you to become. Realize that the source of all strength, the source of all power, the source of all strength, of all change, is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when we strengthen our connection to Him, we strengthen the ummah as a whole. And so we have to work on ourselves. This is the best thing that we can do to strengthen ourselves as an ummah. And so leave today with one extra act of worship than you usually do, and make a commitment to stick with it long term. Not just now, like while all of this is happening, but long term. So maybe it's to pray two extra rak'ah every day, right? Maybe one of the sunnah prayers that's associated with a different obligatory prayers. Or maybe it's to read one extra verse of the Quran a day, one more than you usually read. Or it's to recite Ayatul Kursi in the morning and in the evening. Whatever it is, commit to it and make your intention that you're doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get closer to Him, because that is the path to strengthening our ummah, right? And stick with it. And imagine your skills on the Day of Judgment and sticking with this one small good deed that's going to amplify and multiply, inshallah. And so I want to end with one final approach that I have personally found very helpful. I made a brief video about this too, but I want to elaborate a little bit on it. And this is a way to fill your heart, where I mentioned we are going through vicarious trauma, which is witnessing other people's trauma and that potentially being traumatic or at least just very painful for us. And so when you've seen an image or a video and it comes up in your mind and it just pops up there and you can't seem to get it out, and it leads to distress and it's anxiety provoking and it's painful. And, you know, this happens because we're being bombarded with these images, right? And so transforming that picture in our minds in a way that is based on truth can be very powerful. This is called imagery rescripting, which is replacing one image with another. And I find it most helpful to replace this image based on the truth of the Quran. And I want to give you three examples that you can take, right? So if you are seeing a video or seeing a picture and you're feeling crushed with witnessing the pain that our brothers and sisters are experiencing, and you feel powerless to be able to console them, right? Like you just want to be able to give this child a hug. You just want to be able to give them some sort of support, some sort of ease, and you can't alleviate their pain. Remember the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when they go to Jannah, inshallah, Allah in the Quran says that they're going to say, "Praise be to Allah who has removed from us all sorrow. Indeed, our Lord is forgiving and appreciative. He is the one who out of His grace has settled us in the home of everlasting stay, where we will be touched by neither fatigue nor weariness." So you take that image and you replace it with the image that this verse brings up in your mind of them not being tired, not being weary, that all the sorrow has been removed from them. And you picture that. You picture that because it's a promise of Allah. When you're grieving the loss, when you see these posts of 800, you know, like 1,000 lives, or, you know, like all of these different people who have been, I mean, just so much death, so much loss, so much pain. And when you're grieving that and you see these pictures, picture a scene in Jannah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the meaning of which is, they will have gardens of lasting bliss graced with flowing streams. There they will be adorned with bracelets of gold. There they will wear green garments of fine silk and brocade. There they will be comfortably seated on soft chairs. What a blessed reward. What a pleasant resting place. And picture them. You know, picture these images that you've seen of so many of our brothers and sisters in pain or having died, and picture them with these streams, with these bracelets of gold, with these green silk garments, sitting on soft chairs, right? Picture it. And then one of the things that stands out to so many of us when we see the people who have passed away is we think about the ones that they've left behind. And so when we grieve the people who have been left behind, who are torn apart by the death of their loved ones and have lost so many loved ones, picture the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of their reunion, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, the gardens of eternity which they will enter along with the righteous among their parents, spouses, and descendants. And the angels will enter upon them from every gate, saying, peace be upon you for your perseverance. How excellent is the ultimate abode. Picture that reunion. Picture the reunion where not only are they going to be reunited with the people that they've lost and the people that they loved, but that angels are going to come and speak to them and say, peace be upon you for your perseverance. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the best of rewards in this life and in the next, and grant them every possible goodness, grant them success and victory and freedom from this oppression. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you for your efforts to bring awareness to this, to be aware of it, to support your brothers and sisters, and allow us the ability to continue to do that. Allahumma ameen.